Right here in the studio with us, the Member for Whitlam, the Shadow Minister for Regional Services, Territories and Local Government, plus Shadow Minister for Regional Communications, Stephen Jones.
Great to be here in your studio with my good mate, Elida Faith, who is Labor's candidate for Leichhardt. We've got some exciting news we want to talk to you about this morning, but happy to answer any questions that you and your listeners might have.
Yeah, so first of all, what have you got for the Indigenous broadcasting sector? What can you bring to the table there?
Yeah, look, I love the work that you guys do. Last time I was in the studio, I had a look around and we had a good yak about the things that you're doing, the services you're providing to people up in remote Queensland. We're really keen to ensure that the people in regional and remote Australia get access to basic radio and communication services, but also basic telecommunication services. So this morning I'll be announcing, right outside your studio, Greg, Labor government will invest $7 million into an Indigenous communication strategy. $2 million of that will be set aside for broadcasting, to ensure that we can continue to support and grow Indigenous broadcasting in this country. I've seen the work that you do here on the Cape, over in the centre and out in remote parts of the country, and I love it. I think it's exciting, it's vibrant, it's providing not only information but culture and programming that the mainstream services aren't providing, so I want to support you.
Well, that's been a long time coming, and we've been in the background a little bit, you could say. There's also a call for us maybe to get into a news license category where we can go beyond that five-minute mark of sponsorship. We've got our hands tied when it comes to getting a few extra dollars, put it that way, of our own, you know.
Look, love to talk to you about what we can do to support Indigenous broadcasting and ensure that you can stand on your own feet, that you've got a viable model. At the end of the day, what we want to do is ensure that you can continue to tell the news, the stories of community, ensure that you've got access to the information that's going on in town, ensure that town's got information on stuff that's going on in the Cape. And in emergency situations, now if there's a big storm coming through, everybody knows exactly what they've got to do and where they've got to go to stay safe. So I get it. Labor gets it. We want to help you out.
Look, I have with you your travelling companion for the moment for this part of the journey, Elida. Welcome to the studios here at Black Star Radio. How do you feel your campaign's rolling on? And we're only weeks away from the big day.
2.5 weeks, not that I'm counting. And it's really exciting. Look, I'm really looking forward to it. The campaign is going great. I'm just really focused on what I should be doing, and that's getting out there and talking to the community.
What are some of the main, you know, we hear on national news, you know, the environment and things like that is a groundswell growing for. Do you think the Labor Party is in sync with what's happening at the groundswell at the moment?
I think we most definitely are in sync. Look, I spent a lot of time up in the Cape last year because Leichhardt is a really big electorate, and Leichhardt covers Mount Sheridan right up to the Cape and the Outer Islands. And I know that when I was up there last year and this year, people are saying, look, you know, we feel left out. We don't get heard. And the environment is really important, and so it should be. We've got two beautiful, you know, great world listed heritage areas. And Labor certainly is working on protecting the environment. We've got some really great policies. Housing is another issue up in the Cape and the Torres Strait, and we know that. And we had a great announcement just today in regards to our housing. Health is a big one. And our Cairns Hospital is $7.2 million cut from the hospital, and that covers right up to the Cape.
I'll put to you on what's happening at the moment. There's a big story broken this morning on one of the other news services about what's happening at Jumbabala Springs. A bit of a mouthful, that one, actually.
I'm glad you said it.
Jumbabala Springs and Melaleuca Springs. And I noticed that it's just made headlines this morning. It's a bit of a late starter, but it's a sacred site and a place of great significance. One of the few desert oasis is left in the world today. Do you feel that Labor's up on some of those issues as much as it could be?
Look, I think Stephen would probably be better to answer that. I think he's probably a bit more knowledgeable than I am in that area.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for talking to us about this. It all starts with talking to the mob on the ground.
Yeah.
And being respectful of culture, being respectful of the people on the ground.
Yeah.
I have never met with a community that doesn't want to have economic opportunities for their kids and their mob, but they don't think there has to be a competition between looking after culture, looking after country, looking after sacred sites, and getting economic activity going. We can do both.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we can seriously talk about putting a spacecraft on Mars, surely we can work out a way of protecting culture and community and sacred sites while getting jobs and opportunity into remote communities as well. And I think we can do both. And I guess that leads me to back to a point that Bill Shorten made when he made a commitment to take up the Uluru Statement from the Heart. That was not just about saying we want to recognise our first Australians in the Constitution. It was about saying we want to have a different way about going about business. And a model which enables us to have an ongoing dialogue whenever government, whenever Parliament is making a decision about something which is going to have a big impact on our First Nations people. You've got to have a formal way of having a dialogue to incorporate those views. It's just a different mindset about the way we go about things. Instead of Canberra calling the shots, telling people out on country how things are going to be, it's got to work the other way around.
So you're listening to what's happening there. Obviously, there's been protests, there's been other stuff in the news, and you're taking all that on board.
Mate, I'm here today talking about our Indigenous communications policies, but I don't do that blind to the fact there's a whole other bunch of things that First Nations people want us to be listening to and responding to. Less standing in Canberra, looking north and saying this is how it's going to be, more standing here in the north with your ears open, listening to what people on country want us to do.
Sky Muster.
Yep.
Hasn't quite worked out as well as what, a bit like the NBN, there's a whole lot of, it was going to do this, it was going to do this and going to do that, and at the end of the day, it's still quite slow and it's not working the way that it probably was envisaged.
Sky Muster's a brilliant way of getting a broadband signal into remote communities, except when it rains. And apparently it rains up here a bit. So we've got to have some backup arrangements and we've got to have look at some other arrangements, which is why yesterday I made an announcement as part of our $245 million regional communications package. They want to put $60 million aside to look at some local place-based arrangements for getting better broadband services in regional and remote Australia. The NBN should be the first, second and third priority. But where it simply isn't going to provide a nimble solution, and particularly in remote Australia, let's start talking about what some alternatives might be. Sky Muster, great, but it doesn't work very well when it's raining. Let's find some workarounds.
And slow when a lot of people get on it, like any other service, you know, you get a whole lot of people drawing on it at the same time. It slows down. So
And that's about looking at how we improve the data caps and a whole bunch of other things, which leads me to another point, if you don't mind me making, Greg. One of the things that I really want to do something about, and if I can do something with this $7 million we've announced today, I'd be, why is it the people in remote Australia, around about 130,000 people living in around about 1,000 remote communities throughout the country, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, let's be frank, not the wealthiest of all Australians, some of the poorest people of Australia, but they are paying the most for their broadband. They are paying the most for their data because mostly they're getting it on prepaid. We know the reasons for all of that. But what I'd like to do is work with some of the really smart young people in the First Nations community who are thinking deeply about this, about what's a different business model. How can we get telecommunications data into remote and regional Australia for Indigenous communities at a rate which is at least equal to what the mob in the city are paying? And if we can get it even cheaper, that would be better. But why is it that you're paying more than the people in the city when you've got the lowest incomes, but you're paying most. Mm. And let's not forget, the government actually insists that you contact them over the internet for a whole bunch of services, whether it's Centrelink or health and housing services. You've got to go through a web page or the internet to connect them, but you're paying more than any other Australian for the privilege of doing that. We've got to turn that on its head.
This question for Elida. Let's just look into the crystal ball, and things have gone your way.
Yes.
You become a member of the Legislative Assembly.
Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. What would be your top three things that you'd like to sort of enact? Not so much wish, but sort of
enact. And that's a really great question, Greg. So I've been on the ground and we've been talking a lot about three of the what I would consider main issues that the community has been raising with me since I've been out there talking to them. That's health, making sure that our hospitals are fully funded. It should not matter whether you live in a remote community or in a big city. Everybody deserves access to good quality health. We know that our Cairns hospitals had $7.2 million cut from it, okay? We have committed to reversing those cuts. We've committed $15 million to upgrade our emergency department. Secondly, it's around schools. Again, should not matter where you live, what your postcode is, every kid deserves the best start in life. We need to make sure our schools are properly funded. Again, under the LNP government, massive cuts. We are going to reverse those cuts and invest even more into our schools. The third one is jobs. You know, we have had some great commitments in the lead up to this election. And one of the very first things I want to do, obviously, is make sure that I start delivering those for my community, because I think they're, you know, we've been left out for long enough. We need a strong voice in Canberra. I'm going to be that strong voice. I'm a local mum. I've been here 20 years. I've got an 18-year-old daughter. I want to make sure that she has a future here. And I want to make sure that our kids in our communities have a future in their communities as well. And can I say, if that's okay, I get to announce a really fun announcement today. And we're going to do this outside as well, but I wanted to tell you as well. Stephen did the very important telecommunications one. I get to talk about splash parks in our communities. So a shortened Labor government is going to deliver four new splash parks in four of our communities, totaling $5.2 million.
Fantastic. I love it in the summer and a mango as well.
Yep,
speaking of which, we left a Burdekin plum there for you to take away. It should be on the desk. And there's some outside as well. Hasn't ripened. They don't actually ripen on the tree. They ripen after they get to the ground. We haven't probably got time to go into the mysteries of the Burdekin plum right this morning, because
they're
running
inside, aren't they?
Yeah. Some can be white. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a whole mystery to all of that, and there's some outside for you to take away to ripen. But just before that, we're fast running out of time. When it comes to putting your mark on the paper, when it gets to the Senate paper, it's from here to Townsville long. Where do you suggest if people want to vote for Labor, they tick the box?
You put number one against our ALP Senate candidate, Nita Green. She lives up here, and if she's successful, we're going to have a Senate office right here in Cairns again. So vote number one for Nita Green.
Stephen, Elida, thank you so much for coming in and sharing that with us this morning, and hopefully we can hear more from you after the election.
Thanks very much. Great to talk to you again, Greg, and thanks for the Burdekin plum.
Thank you.
There's more to that story yet.
Good on you.